This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
We're expecting high temperatures around 100 again here in Central Texas today. This stretch of triple digits is driving record demand for electricity. A lot of that demand comes from people just trying to keep cool. They're doing that with the help of a technology that turns 120 years old this summer. And as KUT's Matt Largy explains in this story we first aired back in 2018, it may be the reason most of us are here today.
Okay, not to get too dramatic about it, but this is a story about the most fundamental elements of nature and humans' attempts to tame them, and ultimately how that changed us.
Here in the Gulf Coast area, when the temperature hits the 90-degree mark and the humidity is 70% or more, I don't have to tell you.
This commercial is from 1955.
We've got a special kind of heat. And to beat our special heat, you need special air conditioning.
He's right about the heat.
Even here, time in New York City, today it's 92, but the heat index is 105.
Ugh. This is Salvatore Basil. He wrote a book called Cool, How Air Conditioning Changed Everything.
In times past, that would have been the end of work, because no one would have been able to deal with it.
And people have been trying to beat the heat for centuries, if not longer. Ancient Romans would build hollow walls to run cool water between. That would cool the inside of their houses. Da Vinci invented a machine to move cool air from a river through a room. But these were for the very wealthy or the very curious. It wasn't until the mid-1800s that the first big leap was made.
As it happens, in 1851, there was a tinkerer, a Florida doctor who lived in Apalachicola.
Well, Dr. Gorey was a physician, and he moved to Apalachicola.
Josh Hudson is the manager at the John Gorey Museum State Park in Apalachicola, Florida. And Gorey noticed his patients' symptoms often got worse in the heat of the summer.
So he devised a way to cool down his patients' rooms by suspending ice from a bucket.
It worked, but there was a problem.
The biggest problem was that ice was very expensive. There was $1 per pound at the time.
Even today, you can get 10 pounds of ice for a buck or two. So in 1850, it was definitely not cost effective.
So he started looking at science books.
Just kind of messing around.
And figured out how to make artificial ice with this machine.
His machine used compressed air to freeze water.
And every 24 hours would make a 10 by 10 by 4 inch thick block of ice.
Sounds like a huge deal, right?
Unfortunately, there wasn't a whole lot of support for this artificial ice because this wasn't God's ice.
Gorey's ice was somehow unnatural, an abomination.
So he didn't have a lot of financial backers, and unfortunately, about 5 years after his patent, he died penniless and in seclusion.
So things didn't work out so well for John Gorey, but he did leave a gift that others would pick up on. Mechanical ice eventually started to catch on.
And by the turn of the 20th century, there was a young engineer named Willis Carrier.
This is Salvatore Basil again.
Who was asked to solve the problem of humidity in a Brooklyn printing plant.
Humidity was a big problem for this printing company. See, they do color printing and needed to run the same paper through the printer multiple times to mix colors. But the paper would expand and contract with the humidity in the summer. So they got all these blurry prints. Carrier came up with a plan.
He took the idea of this artificial refrigeration,
modified it a little,
also added in some calculations about humidity control.
And on July 17th, 1902, Willis Carrier finished his design for the first modern air conditioner.
Now, Carrier himself thought this would be a great idea for home comfort, but he ran into what was probably sort of a Victorian tough-it-out ethos with most of the public.
They didn't want air conditioning?
There was a great deal of thinking that God made hot weather, so you should put up with it.
Eventually, people started to get over that, probably because it was too uncomfortable not to. Movie theaters were some of the first businesses to adopt air conditioning in the 20s, especially in places like Texas.
Visit the store with a blue and white sign, Air Conditioned by Westinghouse. Here, you're sure to be comfortable.
The The Rice Hotel was the first building in the Houston area to get air conditioning in 1922. The Milam Building in San Antonio was the first air-conditioned high-rise office building in the country when it opened in 1928.
It was after World War II that manufacturers came out with more affordable window units and began to push it in terms of, well, you could have this in your own life.
And by the late 1940s, air conditioning manufacturing was huge in Texas. Dallas was a major manufacturer of car air conditioning units.
Spark 4, out-cool them all.
Get the top-selling custom-installed brand. Get a Mark 4 auto air conditioner.
And by the 50s, which was definitely a decade of conspicuous consumption, air conditioners were off and running.
Just as sure as you live and breathe, you live better, breathe easier with an RCA room air conditioner.
Almost immediately, it triggers the largest migration of human beings in the history of the United States.
This is Stephen Johnson. He wrote a book called How We Got to Now. He's talking here on the public radio program The Takeaway. And he says when air conditioning started to take hold, the country looked a lot different than it does now.
Well, the big thing is that you just didn't have that many people in the southern states, what we now call the Sun Belt. They weren't that populated.
But once air conditioning became a fact of life, those places shot up in population.
Take Texas. In 1940, the state's population was about 6.5 million. Now, almost 30 million. It's grown by a factor of 5. Meantime, the U.S. population is less than doubled in that time. Florida's population is 10 times higher than in 1940. Arizona's grew by a factor of 14.
Here you have this technology that was originally designed to, you know, just make the room a little nicer to sit in and, you know, cool the air, take the humidity out of the air. And now it is constantly triggering changes in human settlement patterns that are so profound they're visible from space. I mean, I think that's a pretty amazing thing.
Obviously, it's not the only thing driving that population growth. But be honest, would you be in Texas right now if air conditioning didn't exist? I'm not so sure I would. Of course, this all comes with a price. Chemical coolants that deplete the ozone layer, newer coolants that drive climate change, huge demand for electricity. So, happy early 120th birthday, air conditioning, for better or worse. I'm Matt Largy in Austin.
Mm-hmm.